Welcome back to the show, and time for my next guest. Of course, we all know about the importance of a good night's sleep, and doing morning radio for 12 years, that kind of makes you concerned about sleep. Millions of people in the U.S. actually suffer from sleep apnea, and they don't even know it, so I've called in an expert returning to the show. We've got Dr. Carlos Nunez, who is the Chief Medical Officer with ResMed, and he's joining us during a sleep-tember, actually. Going to share some tips on ways to find a remedy for restless sleep. And Dr. Nunez, welcome back to the show. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you for having me. Great to talk to you again.
Now, we mentioned in the beginning, sleep tember. What is sleep tember?
Yeah, so sleep tember was started by the American Sleep Apnea Association, which is a patient advocacy group that wants to raise awareness about good, healthy sleep in general. But obviously, they do also focus a bit more on sleep apnea as one of the most prevalent sleep disorders in America and across the globe.
And we know that has detrimental effects, lack of sleep for your body and for your mind. Just how important is that to get a good night's sleep? Because maybe that's something we don't pay enough attention to.
Yeah, it's absolutely something we don't pay enough attention to. You know, there are three pillars of good human health: sleep, diet, and exercise. And boy, we talk about diet and exercise all the time. We're
sure
obsessed with that stuff. We often just neglect our sleep. And without good sleep, you not only have short-term effects like, you know, not being rested puts you at increased risk for things like car accidents or workplace injuries, but the long-term effects of poor sleep, especially if you have a disorder like sleep apnea, can lead to things like an increased risk for heart disease, stroke, diabetes, even increased risk for dementia like Alzheimer's. So it's really important to focus on sleep. Sleep is the most important thing you can do every day for your health.
And then we say millions of people in the U.S. suffer from sleep apnea and they don't even know it. How is that possible? How does someone have that and then not be aware of it?
Yeah, so in the U.S., there are about 54 million people that suffer from sleep apnea, and over 40 million are undiagnosed and untreated. You're asleep when it's happening, and so often you never notice, but there are signs. The most frequent sign is there's someone that lives with you in your home or shares a bed with you and complains about your snoring, and then they say that it sounds like you might stop breathing. But you can also detect signs yourself. If you wake up every morning and you are just excessively tired all the time, maybe you wake up with headaches or wake up drenched in sweat or with a really scratchy, you know, sore throat most mornings, that's a pretty good giveaway that you might be at risk for sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea, are you literally stopping breathing during that time? Are you, in a sense, like suffocating yourself?
Yes. I mean, the word suffocation is the perfect word to use.
Wow.
What's happening is all our muscles relax when we sleep, including the muscles in your throat. And if for some people, either because of the way their anatomy is, or maybe they've put on a few extra pounds, when those tissues in your throat collapse and collapse all the way down, no air gets into your lungs, the blood oxygen level drops, and your brain recognizes that you are suffocating, and it will send an adrenaline rush through your body to give you just enough of a jolt to take a breath. But of course, when you get an adrenaline rush, it means your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up. And imagine in a typical sleep apnea patient, that's happening 10, 20, 100 times an hour, every hour, every night you sleep.
I thought you were going to say 100 times a night. You're saying that is happening 100 times every hour, potentially?
Absolutely. Some people will stop breathing more than once a minute. They suffocate, they take a big breath because their brain freaks out, and then they go right back to suffocating again. You never get a good night's sleep, and you just imagine that those swings in blood pressure, the swings in oxygen, low and high, your body is being physiologically insulted every single moment while you sleep. And it's no wonder you've set yourself up for, you know, everything from high blood pressure and strokes to, as I said, heart disease and Alzheimer's. There was even a study that just was published that came out of Europe showing that if you have sleep apnea and you do not treat it, you have almost 40% higher risk of dying from any medical cause versus someone with sleep apnea who treats it.
You mentioned anatomy or maybe put on a couple extra pounds. Are there risk factors for sleep apnea? Like, who would be most likely to have it? And clearly it's millions.
Yeah, so across the globe, it's nearly a billion people. It's one of the most prevalent conditions on the planet. Yeah. And, you know, the sort of the typical picture of a sleep apnea patient is, you know, someone in middle age who's put on a few extra pounds. Men seem to be diagnosed more frequently than women, but it doesn't mean that we have it more frequently. It's just, you know, people aren't used to understanding that you can have pediatric patients with sleep apnea. Women, men, thin, tall, you know, and everything in between. So no matter what you look like, where you live, who you are, if you have any of these signs or symptoms, if anybody tells you it sounds like you stop breathing or you snore really loud, it's worth asking your doctor if you may be at risk, because it really does not know any boundaries in terms of people or segments of the population.
Okay, so let's say we visit our physician, we're diagnosed. What can we do? What do you do with sleep apnea? What are some of the remedies?
Sure. The gold standard treatment, and has been for 30 plus years, is something called CPAP. It stands for continuous positive airway pressure.
Yeah.
And it's a small device that sits on your nightstand that blows a stream of gentle pressurized air, usually through your nose. And that's the gold standard. It's the thing that works the best, and most people will use that therapy. I use it myself. I have sleep apnea, and I sleep with my CPAP every night religiously. But you can also, there are surgical options. You can have surgical implants with leads that go into the base of the tongue, and they shock the tongue, similar to like a pacemaker for the heart, to keep the tongue from falling back and blocking your airway. Not everybody is a candidate for that, and it does mean surgery. There are other mouthpieces or positional devices. Some people only snore and stop breathing when they lay on their back. I've seen people duct tape a tennis ball to the back of their pajamas, so when they roll onto their back, they roll back onto their side and stop snoring that way. But, you know, in all honesty, CPAP remains the gold standard treatment because it works every time and it works for everybody with few exceptions.
You talked about zapping the tongue, and it just flashed back to when I was in grade school and my teacher said every time someone said a naughty word, God would zap their tongue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can get an implant to do that for you, and you don't have to say any naughty words. You just have to snore.
what other advice would you have? And, you know, as you mentioned, middle-aged men, maybe a few extra pounds. Now, I'm wondering if, you know, I'm a potential candidate for that. And I assume just waking up tired every morning is getting up unreasonably early to, you know, to do a morning radio show.
Yeah, you know, and I was the same. I'm a physician, and I used to work long shifts before I joined industry. I just thought, I'm always tired because I never sleep enough, and I snore because that's just the way I sleep. But I was in denial. But the things that you can do is, if you have any suspicion whatsoever, talk to your doctor. Your primary care physician should be able to get you on the right path. And you may need a sleep test, and you may need to talk to a sleep doctor. But not everybody who snores has sleep apnea. Keep that in mind as well. You may just snore, and that might just be annoying, but it may not be as potentially deadly as sleep apnea.
Well, obviously you want to speak with your physician. Where else can we go for more information?
There is a great website. It is sleepforbettertomorrow.com. Lots of information about sleep disorders, even a screening questionnaire that you can fill out yourself to get some insights about the way that you sleep.
Carlos Nunez is Chief Medical Officer of ResMed. Always great to talk to you about getting a good night's sleep. I am going to try my darndest to get better sleep. And thank you so much for joining me once again today.
Thanks for having me again, and have a great night's sleep.
Well, now that the seasons are changing, it is the perfect time to get ready for cooler weather. Being 44 degrees when I woke up today was kind of rude, but Time to get used to it. We've got HDTV star Matt Blashaw teaming up with Energy for Everyone's got some tips to get our families ready for the winter. Of course, you know Matt from his show Build It Forward, and as of today, is a member of our Four Timers Club. So, Matt, good morning, welcome, and happy Four Timers Club.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. I can't wait for my T-shirt.
That's right. When you get to the Five Timers Club, you have your choice of a cap, T-shirt, or a souvenir coffee mug.
Oh, I'm going to go with the coffee mug. That is for sure.
Now, that's interesting. That's our most popular item, and I think it's because people drink coffee.
Yeah. Yes, I'm on it right now, that's for sure.
So here we are. Yeah, as I said, I wake up, it's 44 degrees, and I'm thinking, you know, this is early on. That furnace is about to get a workout. What are a few heating maintenance tips we should do right now?
Yeah, so this is the time, you know, the Farmer's Almanac is saying that we're going to have a really cold winter, unfortunately. So before the cold snap starts, right as you get that first crisp in the air like you did this morning, open all your vents around your house. Make sure they are uncovered, because if they're blocked, that forces the furnace to work a little bit harder, making it less efficient. It's a good idea to replace air filters 1 to 3 months. A lot of people don't even look at it for 8 months. And make sure you have a good supply of them. So during the wintertime, you don't have to trudge out in the cold weather. You'll have that air filter right at your fingertips, so you can be able to put it in, make your system run extremely, extremely efficient. And then compared to heat sources like heat pumps, which supply temperatures to your house, like 100 degrees, you can use propane furnace, which is going to heat the house 115 to 125 degrees Fahrenheit, makes the indoor air feel consistently warmer. So another great tool to have with propane, and just taking a few additional steps right now. Ready the furnace, and it will ensure that it works effectively during these cold winter months coming up.
Now, why is propane more effective? Is it just a more direct route to your home?
It's a clean burner, and it burns hotter and very, very efficient. You do have that propane right in the back of your house. So when you are on a propane home, and you can supply a house with propane, and it can supply, dry your clothes. It could, heat your water heater. It can your range, your food. So that source is right there when you need it. And when we build homes, I build homes off the grid a lot. People actually like cooking with propane more, because it has a better heating capacity than electric fire. And they just love it. And so the more it heats, the hotter it gets, the less you're going to have to use.
And that's a far more efficient heat, because I'm not kidding. Heard a commercial not that long ago, and it was bragging about an 80% efficient gas furnace. And I'm like, where does that other 20% go?
Yeah. And there's some, again, there's some great energy efficient, furnaces out there. If you're already on natural gas, you might not have the need for propane, but if you're running on electricity,
yeah.
Not only can I tell you that propane furnaces are 50% more efficient, but they don't have the greenhouse gases like electricity. And I got to tell you, last year, I just read a report, 2021, we had the most greenhouse gases we've ever produced. And we find that really funny, because we're all going to this electrical grid, and the electrical grid is just having so much strain on it right now. So really, with propane, it's one of those key energy fuels that is going to diversify our energy mix. And that's what we need to do, is that we need to diversify our energy mix. And using propane, it produces 43% fewer greenhouse gas emissions than using the equivalent amount of electricity generated from the U.S. grid. And that's an amazing fact.
See, this is why I'm so glad when you call in. I learn something every single time. I did not realize what a stress the electric grid was doing for greenhouse gases. When you hear about electricity being more efficient and propane being more efficient than that, really makes you consider what you want to do to heat your home going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love it. I love the energy independence that you get from propane. You know, you're able to buy it. You have the unique opportunity to purchase that propane. You're not getting, you know, you're not paying for that propane as it comes into your house. You pay for it, you know, so with a world of fluctuating energy prices, you know, you work with your provider, you find the right maintenance and the right plan that's going to work for your family's budget. And then you buy that propane and it sits there on your property and you don't have to worry about the fluctuating energy prices either.
And that's, well, that's another thing, because once you've purchased it, it's there, that's yours. And yeah, gas prices seem to go up and down, and sometimes it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and to find out, you know, again, if you are interested in it, you're kind of thinking, hey, maybe is propane the right way for me? Just go down to your local propane provider. They're going to be able to tell you a little, you know, some great information. They will even have some contractors that might be able to come out and see, give you an energy audit to see if the propane is right for you. Or you can visit propane.com and just start to learn more about it.
So if someone is thinking about, you know, upgrading their heating system, is it super involved to switch over to propane, or is this something, you know, we could get going before the dark part of winter kicks in?
Well, here's the good news, right, is that if you have a forced air heating system, that means you already have the ducting in place, and really the only thing that you would have to switch out would be the furnace. The one thing, it would be better if you already had a propane infrastructure with mm-hmm. your house. That way you can tie in that furnace. But it's not hard to do, but you just need to figure out, hey, is this going to be a better energy source for me? Because I can tell you, just burning off electricity, if you're using electricity to heat your water, electricity to heat your range, electricity, all of these things are really going to add up. And propane is going to help with the greenhouse gases. But you're also not going to have to rely solely upon the electrical grid, which nowadays you just never know whether it's going to be going out or not. And you can get a propane power generator as well. So, you know, especially during this winter time when it can get so cold, and really we've seen it across the nation really get dangerous when it gets this cold and yeah. we don't have a way to heat the house. Propane is going to be there for you. It's right there on your property. It's going to be able to heat that house when electricity can't.
Well, Matt, I'm glad you called in, because we can settle a debate here. I Googled you, and the second entry is a Google question. Where is Matt Blashaw now? And I can say, well, he's right here.
That's right. I'm a part. You can write. He's part of the Four Timer Club, which is fantastic.
And then for some reason, the ninth entry is you're having a mishap installing some kind of beam. So we need to get more fun things lifted toward there. For more information, visit propane.com. Matt, where can we keep up with you and your show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, propane.com for all the propane needs. But you can visit my website, mattblashaw.com, and I'll learn about everything that I'm doing today.
All right, Matt, we have to get you back for the Five Timers Club, and we'll have a huge ceremony. And thanks for joining me today.
I can't wait for the trumpet.
Wake up.